first, let's start with the name of this reading of this week. We know that every week we read a different parasha, or what you can call it, portion, which means it's a section in the Torah, section in the Bible. And the section of this Bible is called Mishpatim. Now, if you look at Mishpatim, it's basically a lot of rules, a lot of regulation. It's a, if you're going to buy a slave, it should work 6 years for you, and then the seventh, it will go for free. I don't know if Abraham Lincoln ever used that line. So, but it's there in the Bible, it's there in the Torah, about the laws of everything. All the laws among people are here. The question that, what is those laws? And most of the people who study Talmud, you know, Talmud is all the books of law, coming from here. Lawyer, basic of being a lawyer, come from here, from this weak portion. What to do? If your bull is running to my land, how do you pay me? Who's paying who? You know, all the rules is actually here. It's just unbelievable. You know, what to do? The question is, why do we need to read about it? Like somebody told me something today. It bothered me a bit, but I didn't answer back because sometimes there is no point to answer because you have to find out if the person is in that place. He say, I can relate to those rules because they're too primitive. Makes sense. I mean, those rules are primitive. I don't know. You don't have a bull. None of us have a bull. You know? So he has a point. Why? We need to read about it. And most of the rules is for farmer. You have fruit. When you do it, what do you do with the fruit? When do you donate the fruit? Because the bunch of the fruit that come first, you have to keep them for the Beit HaMikdash, to the temple, so you give it as a gift. So there is thousands of rules, and I highly recommend you should read it. I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm doing the Zohar. But why? The question is, why those rules? And it's so long. It's talking about, like, you know, when things start to go good for you, don't give a credit for yourself. Why not? It's because the person who was there before is the one who did the mistake, so that's why they gave it to you. So try to think you're fighting for a piece of land. And you won. And you got it. So you think, I got it. You have this little ego stuff. I got it. No, he lost it. That's what God is telling us to do. He lost it. You happen to be in the area, you got it. But don't give credit for yourself for your achievement. Understand there is regulation of once the person is not act in a certain spiritual way, he has to lose property, he has to lose. It's not because he was punished. His capability of holding the blessing is no longer there. Nobody get punished. Nobody get punished. The idea is your desire level no longer there. It's basically decreased. So because you don't have desire for what you wanted yesterday, things start to go bad. And it's with them.
After you've gotten something.
After you've gotten something. Let's say somebody get married. Okay, a lot of time I have couples who come to me, they get married. After 5 years, they're not sure they want to be together. You know? For all kind of reason. She snore, he snore. Don't laugh. It's a serious business. Serious business. I'm not joking. People want to sleep. Sleeping is a big deal in America. You need to know. Sleeping is a big deal. So people come. Not easy. I say, the appreciation. I say, how much money you spend on the wedding? I have to always go to the numbers. And the numbers I hear is shocking me. The flower, the thing, you know, a lot of money. I say, you did all of it. You work in a relationship before the marriage. You did so well. And now, no longer. I can't take it anymore. I want to sleep. And nobody is wrong. You understand? So I tell both of them, if you will lose the desire for appreciating one another and have gratitude to one another, this marriage cannot last. Because what marriage will last? Marriage will last only in one condition, that there is gratitude and appreciate to one another. If you don't have appreciation and gratitude to one another, it's very difficult to make it. It's very difficult. Gratitude and appreciation is what keep everything going. You have to remember that. Everything in your life is still there because you've got it too. So if you look at money, health, well-being, you know, like somebody called me today, one of my greatest dear student, and he's Aries. I don't know if you know sign of Aries. He's one of the greatest fun people to be with. Fun. And he tell me, and yeah, I don't have the mojo of the Aries anymore. What's going on? And it's not happening. I went down, I'm crashing. He called me, I am crashing. You saved me 7 years ago. I said, I didn't save you, I just teach you. I said, no, it's not working. I can kick it away. And I gave him a list of things. I said, we do this first, we do this second. I said, but I don't want you to expect a result right away. You're an Aries. Aries right away want result. I went to the gym, now that's it. I'm a tzaddik, I'm righteous, I'm spiritual. No, you went to the gym, that's it. That's it. You burn 500 calories, maybe, and now you're going to eat your green juice, and that's it. But it's not better because you went to the gym. Everything that a lot of time, they went there, and everything is okay. You're looking for paper? Yeah, maybe we can help you. Do you have one of those for her? Yeah. Thank you. No problem. All right, now let's go to the Zohar and see what the Zohar said about this week parasha. And remember, the Zohar is not related at all to the idea of the laws. The Zohar starts by saying, this is the laws of reincarnation. Everything you hear about slavery, nothing to do with slavery. Slavery has to do with my soul is sometimes slave to my body, because my body is not allowing my soul to do what I wanted to do. I mean, how many of us, I think it's all of us, falling in, we just talked about food before. Now, I was in New York, was in Miami. Something about New York and the food. I have no idea what is that. You eat. When you go there, you just eat. A lot. And I don't know. I'm trying not to, but it's here. So, in the body, I can tell my body, stop it already. Stop. Just eat. Just a little bit. And the body consciousness versus the soul conscious, there is such a war between these two forces. So the slave is the soul that starts listening to the body. It's very difficult. The soul keeps listening to the body, and the body makes the soul like slavery. So all those laws that we're going to read in the Torah, the Zohar said, has nothing to do with the laws of slavery. It has to do with the laws of the universe. And I recommend it to each and every one of you. If you have Mishpatim Zohar in English, read it nonstop. Read it nonstop. It's the most important Zohar to help you with what you got to do in your life. I'm not telling you it's going to excite you everything here, because some of the things are depressing. Because some of the things we mean you are doing are the wrong thing. When you read them, you say, wow, I'm doing that wrong thing. Oh, I'm doing that one too. So you keep reading it, but it's important to do that. So because of that, I'm going to take you on a journey in Mishpatim. And in that journey, we're going to study step by step about reincarnation. If we will have time, I would like also to go into the Rabbi Isaac Luria, to go deep a little bit into it, not too deep, so it will be understood to everybody. And then open it for question for each and every one of us. So let's start. Verse 103, it will appear on the screen. And Michelle, I think, will read it for us. Yes, please.
Come and see. If he take another, the incarnations in this verse are great and lofty, as all souls incarnate. Yet people do not know the ways of the Holy One, blessed be he, and how the scales are placed and men judge every day at every season, and how souls are sentenced before they come into the world and sentenced after leaving this world.
So, the Zohar related, if another woman will take him, there is a laws of marriage, there are laws of slavery, everything is in this portion. So it doesn't talk about a woman, it doesn't talk about a wife, it doesn't talk about slavery. It's talking about if another woman, which means if another body will take him, and the soul is basically will take another body to reincarnate. So everybody understand? Yes? Now, so it say, before we coming here, the soul has to sit with a court, like a judgment, like angels, your persecutor, the good one, and they negotiate a deal for you. You negotiate a deal, and you have to agree. Negotiate a deal and say, listen, that's your parents, that's a family, that's a surrounding, that's the issue. We're sending you into a list of problems. As more problems we give you, you're going to discover yourself better. Because if you have no problem in your life, you diminish. You God forbid, you die. Not physically, spiritually. You die. You need the problem to discover what? To discover yourself. If you don't have no problem, you're a dead person. You need to have problem in business, problem in health, chas v'shalom, God forbid, problem with relationship. Because through that, you climb above. The wave that come your way, you know, I don't know how to surf, but when I talk to good surfer, they go and they sit on that board and they're just looking back, waiting for a good wave. All right? If I see the wave they're waiting for, I will run away. But they said, wow, finally opportunity. And they go and they stand and they ride on that wave. So the same metaphor is our life. What do you do with the wave coming away? Are you riding on that wave? Or are you running away? Or are you going under it? You know? Every problem coming in your life, it's already been decided by your soul and signed the contract. You sign the contract and say, I need that. I give you a story now so you will be clear on that. So that rich man, he born to a very wealthy family. But because he was born to a wealthy family, his father earned the money for many, many years. He was a very tough father. So he thought he needed to be tough with charity. Never gave a penny to charity. Never volunteers 1 minute of his time. Nothing. He died. He go to heaven. Heaven is showing him the contract that he signed. He said, listen, you ask us to put you in a rich family. We took care of everything for you, and you say you want to start helping people. What happened? He said, listen, I have too much ego. I have this, I have that. He said, what do you want to do next lifetime? He said, send me to be poor. 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 And then it will be okay. Send him to be poor. He's so poor, he had nothing to eat. He go beg people for money, beg people for food. And one time somebody gave him a big portion of food, and next to him there is another poor person. He said, can I have a piece of food? It looked like you have a lot. Say, no! And he died. Go to heaven. He said, man, this is the first life, the second life. What's going on? Do we have a problem here? So, well, you know, when you're poor, you become depressed, become sad, you can't give, can't. Then just say, here's the point. So what do you want to do next lifetime? He said, I tell you what, I want to be poor half of the life, and the end of the life to be super rich. So, okay, good deal. So until age 35, no money, no nothing. Sometimes it becomes from shoe shining into create the best shoes ever, and it becomes so wealthy. It was unbelievable. During this time that he's wealthy, of course, people knock on his door to test him. Knock on his door, try to steal money from him. He's not letting anybody take a penny from him. So cheap, right? Die, go to heaven. The angel don't talk anymore. They look and say, well, now when you die, you know what happened. First lifetime, rich. Second, poor. Third, half and half. What do you want to do now? At that point, he sits and is telling them, guys, I'm open to listen whatever you decide. I'm going to go okay with it. Then they just say, okay, we have that for you. Tell us if you can sign this contract and come down to this world. So a lot of time we reincarnate, but we don't want to do the job. The difficult part of our life is the job, not the easy part. Don't be busy with all the creative thing you did. We all did creative thing. Some people, like the guy who teach me how to play guitar, he just touch guitar and everything come out. You know, touch guitar, the finger, it take time. But he's talented. Whatever he touch, work. Any music he touch, work. Okay? I need to work. I need to practice it. Some people can shoot for 3-point basketball. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Every time. You know? You got to work at that until something come in. So we need to understand the talent that we have. We're born to help us with the area we have difficult time. Okay? Let's continue now. Verse 104.
How many incarnations and obscure deeds does the Holy One, blessed be He, bestow upon naked neshama without a garment of the Torah and the precepts? And how many naked ruchot walk about that world, not entering the presence of the King? And how many worlds are turned for their sakes? That is, the arrangement of the grades, called world, is changed for them. And the world is turned around in many obscure, wondrous ways. Yet people do not know nor observe. And how do souls roll, incarnate as a stone in a sling, as written? And the souls of your enemies, then shall he sling out as out of the hollow of a sling.
Good. Now, we need to explain in an easier language, because Rav Ashlag in 1922 used to be worried when we use the word Torah and mitzvot, it's related to very Orthodox Jew. And people don't get it. What is Torah and mitzvot? What is exactly that? I mean, Torah is the 5 books of Moses, literally. What is mitzvot? If we translate it literally, precept. But what is it? What exactly going on there that is so important for the soul to do it? The idea is like that. There is a blessing coming down. Those blessings that coming down, when you act in a spiritual way, with the precept, with the study, those blessings come to manifestation. People a lot of time think, if I do the right thing, now I want to get a gift. If I do the right thing, I will reveal the gift I already have. That's really should be the line. So the gift that God created, the divine created, is already here next to you. The mitzvot, the precept, the Torah, the study, let's say what we're doing now, we need to meditate in our mind. What is the blessing around me that I can see, I can connect, I can relate to? Through that, I will reveal them. So it says that sometimes the soul go naked. What is a naked soul? Does it look like something naked? No. The naked soul means that there is nothing to reveal that. For example, electricity. Electricity cannot be seen by the naked eye. You can't see electricity. You need a wire. The wire is the clothing of the electricity, right? The copper wire, that's what it is. It's manifest something non-physical into something physical. Makes sense so far? Your soul cannot be manifest to a full capacity without spirituality. Cannot, just cannot. I don't care how long you are in the gym and how many hours you do yoga. Cannot. Even if you fast, those of you who fast green or whatever you do, cannot. You need to find spiritual thing that you can do and study that you can do like we're doing right now. That will help you to manifest the soul while you are alive. And do not look at it in a religiosity, in a religious way, that now I'm doing the priest, I'm doing all those wonderful things, now God, can you pay me? That's a wrong way to go. And that's why religious people do a little mistake in that area. Doesn't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, or Jew, it's a little mistake. It's an insult to the divine. Because it makes the divine like you bribe the divine. Okay, I behave, I pray 3 times a day, where's my money? No. My money is here. Now the way to get there is if I pray, if I meditate, if I work on myself. And then I manifest what's already there. That's the right way to think. Don't go the other way around because then you missed it. But if you go the other way around, you are playing game. And that's why I'd say the soul have no clothing. And something that has no clothing cannot reveal itself. Cannot reveal itself. How is this manifesting on a daily basis? What does it look like? I tell you how. There is physicality of who we are, and we have soul of who we are. If you have a new idea once a week, you have to have once a week new idea. New idea. And you write it down. And you're able to manifest it with people or yourself, and it starts working. That's when your soul being activated. Soul always will give you at least one idea a week. If you don't get one idea a week, soul not being activated. That's first. Second, after the soul being activated, you got to make sure to manifest it. Because I know many people have 1,000 ideas, but don't they get manifest, right? Not they get manifest. You know, I said in New York, I say the place of the most amount of idea that never been manifest is where? Yes. Cemetery. Cemetery. Right? Do you agree with that? On the way to New York, you have two famous cemetery. Everybody there have great idea, but didn't have the guts to do something about it. I'm going to talk about it Thursday in the Kabbalah gym. You know, that's basically what happened. People don't do something about it. In a way, good idea. Very good. Good for you. You have good idea. Now what do you do? What do you do? You write a good story. Good. What do you do? What do you do? So one thing is the soul giving you idea. That's when your soul being activated. If you have no idea and you just do the same thing you did last week and there is nothing new in your consciousness, in your thought, you have to worry a little bit about your soul. Something is not working. Every week, new idea. Every week, guys. Every week. That's how you know that you're doing something right. Every week. Every week. Very important. So the clothing is very important. Let's just read this part, these two parts. Yes?
Now is the time to reveal signal that all the neshamot emerge from the great strong
tree. Neshamot means souls.
Emerge from the great strong tree, which is the river that comes out of Eden, namely Zeran Pin. And all the ruchot emerge from another.
Ruchot means spirit. Yeah.
From another small tree, which is Malchut. A neshama emerges from above and a ruach from below. And they join together as male and female. When they unite, they shine forth a lofty light. The joining of these two is called a candle, which is made of the initials of neshama ruach as written. The soul of man is the candle of Hashem. What is the candle? Neshama ruach. The joining of the two together is called a candle. As written of them, the soul of man is the candle of Hashem.
Okay. So, candle in Hebrew, you say ner. N-E-R, ner. The way you say soul in Hebrew is neshama with N. The way you say spirit in Hebrew is ruach, R. So together is ner, which is candle. So the Zohar explained to us that there is two forces inside of it. It doesn't talk about the lowest level called nefesh. It only talk about the highest two levels. When we talk about our soul, the soul is divided to three levels. The nefesh is what the bridge basically between the physical body to the soul. It's usually sitting in your blood. The nefesh is in the bloodstream. Doctors didn't yet come to conclusion about the blood, but the blood is everything about your personality is in your blood. Everything. Everything, 100%. And that's why you don't want to eat the blood from an animal. You know? That's why you eat kosher. What is kosher meat? Kosher meat means they took all the blood out. That's why it tastes like that, right? Why you don't eat the blood from an animal? Because you become it. So if you eat steak, not kosher steak, you become a cow. For that few hours, for 6 hours, you become a cow. No, seriously, if you're a pig, you become a pig for that 6 hours. It's not because kasher is healthier. It's not healthier at all. Not at all. No. There's more Jewish people in the hospital than any other religion, by God. So it's nothing to do with the healthier. We're talking about the concept of kasher, of kosher. It means you take all the blood out. There's a process. You put salt. All the blood, you suck all the blood out. If you go to a kosher restaurant, when you cut the steak, it'll dry. There's nothing there. I mean, I never ate non-kosher meat, so I don't know. But when I go out with people, they look at the meat, and they keep, why is it not have a personality? It's dead. Not to have a personality. You know, so the blood of what you eat become you. Adam u anefesh. The Torah said the blood is the nefesh. So whatever you eat, that's what you become. That's what you become. So I'm not here to tell you about vegetarians and vegan and all the now nine hours lecture. I'm just telling you a basic. Now, the ruach and neshama is the two levels of the soul, which is the higher one. Neshama relate to your thought, and ruach relate to your speech. How you talk. How you talk. How you think. Those are the two forces, very important forces, that exist in you. Together they call them candle, because they are the flame. They're always on, never stop. That flame, never stop. When a person dies, God forbid, the first two things that happen, the neshama, then the ruach, leave the body. The nefesh don't leave the body. It means the person is still alive. It's very scary, I know, if you start getting deep into it. He's there. He's actually there. He's actually there, I will take you further than that, even in the burial time. That's a shocking thing. And the burial is taking a place. That's why we do burial, we don't do something else, so the nefesh can leave the body. Because the nefesh can leave the body. All what the nefesh know, the lowest part of the soul is the body. It's the bloodstream and in the body. So how do you get out? You remember when you go to a store in the mall, let's say Macy's, and they have those magnets that attach to the shirt. So they put it on that machine, and somehow they click. That's what the ground do for the body. The ground take the body, like a magnet, hold it, and the nefesh can come out. That's one of the reasons you bury somebody in the land. People think it's a primitive thing. It's the most modern thing if you know what you're doing. So people say, just burn the body. No, you can't, because we need to get the nefesh out. Otherwise, the nefesh don't have a chance to come back again. It's a reincarnation, so give it a chance. Give it a chance. It's nothing to do with just religion. It's just to do, God give you some advice. It's not a command. It's telling you, let's do better deal for you. Not, I don't, For me, it's the same for you. So when we study spirituality, a lot of time people think it's kind of, I got to do something so God will love me. No, I got to do something so my life get better. So that's the nefesh. It's what fascinates. So you have, when you're alive, it's like the candle. Okay, you see the flame? It's always moving. It's you, always moving. Always moving. And one of them is a female, one of them is a male. Okay? So the female is always a strong force of receiving. It's the ruach, and on top of it, there is the neshama, which is the male. Okay? So together, they need to work together. It's like the candle with the wick and the flame. What's more important? Both. You can't have the flame without the candle and the wick, and you can't have just the candle without fire. You need both. That's your soul. Okay? That's your soul. One more part on this section, and then we move to another subject.
The neshama and ruach are male and female that shine together. They do not shine without each other, and when they join, the whole is called a candle. Then the neshama is enveloped in a ruach in order to be there above in the supernal Garden of Eden, in hidden chamber as written. But the spirit should faint, or envelope, before me. It is not written, be enveloped, but envelope, which means it envelopes others. The reason is that the neshama that I have made there in the upper Garden of Eden, in the hidden chamber, is enveloped and clothed in the ruach as it should be.
Okay, so you know those Russian eggs that they have one inside of them?
Yeah.
So what happened, the neshama is coming down, the soul, the highest level, and then it's covered with ruach. So beautiful. And then you have the neshama, then it's covered with ruach. Then this will cover with the nefesh. Then this will cover with the body. So you have layers. It's many, many layers. But the core of who you are is your neshama. It's the most important part of your existence. Then, second core, ruach, speech. Third, nefesh, your doing. Fourth, your body. Fifth, there is even fifth. It's called animal body. If the person is not changing spiritually, is acting as an animal, not different, just survivals, and it's just the body. There's no soul, nothing there. There is people like that, by the way. They don't think about nothing. Just the body. Survivals, 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 survival. That's it, what they think. Money, sex, what else exists in terms of survival? Overcoming fear. It's like living in a jungle. That's all what they think. Usually they suffer from a lower back pain, all this area in the bottom. Because that's the area that you're still stuck in climbing to the level of neshama, which is a very important part. Very important part. What can you do about it if you think you maybe don't do enough? You have to look inside and look at it like, are you willing to do some change with your life, with your personality, and the changes to be with you, not with your home or the coffee you order. It has to be real. It has to be like authentic. It's between you and yourself, and you just say, okay, what is it I need to change? Is it the way I talk, the way I think, the way I behave? What is it major thing? Take only one thing. Don't take a lot. One thing. One thing. Either behave, talk, or thinking. I will tell you, don't take the thinking. Thinking is for lazy. And nobody can catch you ever on that. Take the speech or take the action. Then somebody can witness if you're really doing something. Are you talking better? Are you behaving better? But if you're thinking better, what do I know? Somebody once told me, how do you know that I don't think better? So I said, I hear you talking. He said, what do you mean? I said, when you talk, you manifest everything you're thinking. What is talking? This is, you put it out. What's happening? It's almost, this is like the river, and it's coming down and you talk. Now I know what you're thinking. You know? It's amazing. How many times I find myself coming back from a meeting, that new meeting, new people, and on my way home, I say, why did I say that? I don't know if it ever happened to you. Why did I say this stupid thing? What for? What for a lie? You promised. And I, on the way there, I promised not to say that line. And that's the one line I opened the conversation with. Why? And if sometimes people on the highway see me, sometimes there is traffic on the 101, and I'm hitting my lips. Stop saying those things. I told you not to say it. And I'm talking to myself. It looks very weird. There is traffic. People look at each other. There's nothing to do. So, I mean, you're allowed to talk because people think you're on Bluetooth or something like that. You're allowed to talk. In the old days, 25 years ago, if you talk, you look weird. Say, somebody's crazy. This guy's crazy. Crazy person there. But it's the best therapy when you talk in the car. You talk to yourself. You release something. You talk and say, oh, yeah, we should do better. We should do better. You know, and there's that. My friend shared with me something. He said to me, I'm working with him on acceptance, addiction of acceptance of people. So he's married for a long time and all this and that. And he shared with me something. It's very funny. So he's working on it like so good for 2.5 months. So he's going to that corporate event where people, all kind of investor coming and this and that, 500 people. And these two ladies were very pleased with his performance. And they happened to dress very beautiful or sexy, as he called it. And they were all over him, like telling him how great, and he looked great for his age, and he feel great. And he forget everything we studied the last 2.5 months, acceptance. All what he want is to be liked by those two ladies. So he called me very late at night. He said, man, what happened? He said, I failed. I said, how bad? He said, no, just in my mind, nothing happened. My mind. I said, what did you do after that? He said, I was walking in the street instead of taking Ubers, and I was talking to God. I said, God, I failed you. God, I really failed you. I'm trying to work an acceptance with human being, but I was addicted. They were beautiful. They compliment me. I felt good. I was in the moment. The half an hour, I was. So the idea, my friend, is we need to understand the soul work is not the easy work, my dear friend. It's not the easy work because the soul is connected to the divine, to the creator. To work on that is all day long we're going to do a mistake, just to be aware of that and remind myself, write it down. Okay, at 5 o'clock today, I thought I could do a better job. It wasn't that great. Every moment that we're doing is a spiritual moment. There is no spiritual moment now when we study. This is what we study how to do. But when you get out of it, that's a spiritual moment. Okay, I'm gonna give you another example. I'm going to tennis up. So this tennis app telling you who is around you willing to play tennis with you. So I'm pressing, I'm tennis, and you up somebody, you know, they tell you the level, but sometimes the levels is not what it say. I'm arriving very excited, and I see a guy late about 15 minutes. I said, I brought balls. I tell him, say, I brought balls too. Now I look at the balls. I'll play for a long time, and it's kind of from 1966 or something. So I'm trying to be polite. I said, oh, Ilya, work on yourself. You still have to be spiritual. I said, do you mind? I said, no, I want to play those ball. It means something to me. What a day. It's going to be interesting. So, you know, he's in the end of practice. I said, do you mind to try the new one? It's really good condition. I just bought them. I said, yes, we try. So, well, it's really nice. We play. Happen to be not the best player, but up there. So I'm drinking water, you know, like before we start. He said, do you have water? Say, I think I bought a bottle for you as well. So I'm the bottle. Said, no. And it keep going for 1.5 hours, this whole thing. So in the end, I said, I got to go. He said, no, I have 10 more minutes. I said, but I have a meeting on the phone before Miami. No, I have 10 more minutes. It's okay. Let's eat bottles 10 more minutes. And this is like not, I feel like it's not going away because this is the week of reincarnation. You know, things will come your way. And then I said, you want me to teach you a little bit how to serve? You know, I'm pretty good in that. I said, yes. So I'm showing him that you lift the ball, you do this, your life easier. And he thanked me. I said, thank you. I said, good for you, good for me. I'm happy we met. And let's keep in touch. Why am I sharing with you this story? This week is the week of reincarnation. In the week of reincarnation, you have to meet the people. And if you belong to any app like that, it doesn't have to be tennis, it can be chess, it can be backgammon. There's a lot of great things out there. When you meet people, you will meet people that have to bother you a bit on the area where you don't like to be bothered. Some people like to be private. A lot of people hate to be together with people. They like to be private. So you got to be in the situation that people destroy your privacy. It's very important because you got to work on what's difficult for you to work on. That's to work on your reincarnation issue. This week is donating all the issue that we didn't work on for 1 week. It's only for 1 week. We are now, what is it, Tuesday night? A few more days. But if you're willing, say, after the word, my dear angel, I would like to deal with situation from another lifetime. So bring it on, but make me stronger. And that's it. And things will start coming. And when they start coming, you can call me if it's very difficult. You know, if it's very difficult, you can call me. It's not supposed to be very difficult. Let's move on to another subject, and then we open the reincarnation book, and then we can ask some questions or see where it's going. It is, I call it second chance, and you will know why right now. Oh, 2:30. What's in here? Oh, you can start reading. Sorry. Go ahead, please.
Therefore, such a man, even though he rebelled against him and blemished, where he must not have blemished, but repented before him, he accepts him and has pity on him. For the Holy One, blessed be he, is full of compassion and is filled with compassion for all his works, as is written. And his tender mercies are over all his works. His mercy reaches even beasts and fowls. So if his mercy reaches them, all the more so people who recognize and know how to praise their master. When his mercy reaches them and dwells on them. Regarding this, David said, great are your compassions, Hashem, give me life as is your wont.
So I'm going to raise a question here. This is a difficult verse. It's a difficult one. People have a hard time with that all the time. And I teach this verse for many years, and again and again. And I'm going to ask you a fair question. What is your relationship to the divine? Do you accept the divine is allow or supposed to? And there is no yes or no question. What do you think? Just to open it. Is the divine actually your master? Is the divine your boss? What is the divine for you? What do you think of it? What's come to your mind? Is it like your ultimate boss? Or it doesn't feel right when I say it? It actually make you angry even. Like, no. What do you say?
It doesn't feel like a boss. It feels more like a friend.
Like a friend. Like a friend.
Yeah.
Okay?
To me.
Why like a friend?
Because it loves me and it wants the best for me.
Okay. It loves you and wants the best for you. Okay?
That's okay. Right.
Okay, so what does a friend do when you go in the wrong direction?
It tells you, lets you know.
Okay, any other thought about it?
Partner.
Partner, you're saying?
Yeah.
Partner. Are we using the word partner or friend because we have a difficult time with the word boss?
Boss.
You gotta listen to my question, it's very important. Are we using that word? Who is your boss in this life? Do you have a boss? Do you have a boss? Or you actually, because we are now in a generation that nobody has a boss. Everybody's so creative that there's no boss. Right? People don't like the word boss. I don't have a boss. But that's an important question to raise. I mean, we just read, you say if a person damage something, any change, the creator, the divine, accept him with mercy because he changed like animals and chicken and birds and everything like that. So if people know how to change their way, then he doesn't say their friend forgive them, the divine forgive them. And he said, it's okay. So how is it like a friend? Because it sounds like somebody is running this universe. There is an operator, the CEO of this universe, we call it the divine. You can call it God, divine, light, endless, whatever you want to call it. But there is a ruler over this universe. Is it sit with you well?
Yeah.
Yeah, sit with you well. How about others?
I think there's a ruler. Yeah, I think there's a ruler. Totally. I don't know how well I work with the ruler, but I know it's there.
You have a feeling on that?
I believe it. I believe that there's obviously something bigger than me.
Okay, this is a very, very good point, how you put it. Something bigger than us.
But I think also in times when I'm less connected, I can feel the difference. I'm like, oh my God, what did you just do?
It's very beautiful. I like what you say. Sometimes I think all of us, when we're less connected, we feel something. I don't know how many of you ever fell spiritually. I know I did. And I remember a few places that I remember, even the location when it happened to me. One of them was in Chicago. One of them was in Miami. One of them was in Israel. When I felt really low, very low. And my friend always reminded me what I did. I was so low spiritually that I put my hand, my left hand, on a tree. It was a large tree. And I said to the tree, I'm so lost. I don't even know how to reconnect myself again. Can you please help me? Please help me. Connect me to something. And that day, many miracles happened to me. I'm telling you. Something started happening. So I love what you're saying, because those of us who never fell spiritually will not understand what I just said, because it sounds weird. But when you fall spiritually, you start feeling like, only when you want to connect again, if you find yourself how far you've been. You don't know how far you've been until you try to reconnect, you know? So how did I get to this place? How did I even get to this place, you know? Yeah. It's very powerful. I want to go deeper into it. There is a rabbi by the name of Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai lived in Iraq. He was the most famous Kabbalist in Iraq. Iraq was a city of all the people from the Second Temple being destroyed, the Jewish, went to Babylonia. That's where they live. And a lot of them came back, but the community that stay a community of mystical rabbi. The most famous is the Ben Ishchai, and his student Rabbi Yehuda Ptaya. Rabbi Yehuda Ptaya used to go to people who die and fix them while they are dead and bring them back to reincarnation. Because if a person, there is a great book, you can get it in English, great book, it's scary, not for everybody, but it's a great book, okay? It's called Spirit Are Talking, I think. Or look for Rabbi Yehuda Ptaya, because it might call a different name in English. Rabbi Yehuda Ptaya. But again, it's not for everybody, because there is details of every little thing going on after the soul leaves the body. It's not fun to read. It's fun to read for me, but most people get scared. So it's not for them. So the reason I mentioned them, they said that the way we're supposed to connect to the divine is through three levels: fear, respect, and love. Fear, respect, and love. It's written there that if you only have love like a friend, you will disconnect eventually, because you will lose that touch. The respect keeps you connected, because it's respect. Like, once you respect what you love, you continue to love it. But once you only love it with no respect, eventually you will not love it. Do you listen to me, or I lost you? It's kind of deeper a little bit there. This is not my words, it's Ben Ishchai. So why do you need fear? Very good. The fear is for people who fell, like me. When you fall down so bad, you have to awakening a certain fear, that fear will bring you into connect and ask for help because you're afraid, and that will bring respect, and that will bring love. So we're going in the ladder of transformation all the time, up and down, up and down. It's not the easy thing. And I want to show you an example. I'm going to share with you. Leonardo da Vinci is holding a brush in his hand. He's doing the Mona Lisa. If the brush will start talking to you and say, what do you think about the picture I just did? How is that sound to you? Stupid, right? The brush talking. When we talk that we did something in this life, at that moment we disconnect from the divine. We are a vehicle that wished to be used by a force called the divine. And I don't want you to become too fanatic religious, but I'm giving you a concept that you can think about. You don't have to accept it, you don't have to agree. It's just something to think. We are begging the divine, please use me as a vehicle. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob begged the divine, use me. It can be a body. It can be a soul. I think I can do good here. Please, I'm begging you. Clean me so you can use me better. Clean the brush so you can paint something better. So to connect to the divine, when we do something wrong, as the Zohar said, the whole body and the soul start to go wrong. At that moment, you can feel all kind of feeling. You can be disappointed. After disappointed, you can get angry. After you get angry, you get disconnected. After you get disconnected, you have enough with all of it. I don't want to be spiritual anymore. That can happen. And then you have to go back to the cycles of fear first, unfortunately. You can jump to respect right away, but it takes time. If you can jump to respect, the respect keeps the love going. A couple who living with each other and say, I love my husband, but I don't respect him, that love will not last. There's many people like that, by the way. They love each other, but that love is not going to last, as the Ben Ish Chai said. Why? Because the foundation of the love has no value. In the 60s, used to be people who went to Woodstock. They love each other. A lot. They did what he did, like this and like this, you know, that the peace sign, you know, the chicken leg, what they call it, you know. Yeah, whatever that.
Yeah.
You know, this thing with a circle. Yeah. This. Okay, so Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and wow, and the Who, Rolling Stone, I think, was there. Everybody was there, I think. I don't know who was there. And everybody loved each other. Love! How long that lasts? As long as the drug lasts. That's it. Why? Because the respect was not there. It was love, but no respect. Mm. You understand? When love comes first, remember that, guys. I hope you learn it also with human beings. When love comes first, there's no value to it. It disappears. It's like a beautiful smell. The love has to be installed in the envelope called respect. When there is respect, and then the love comes after that, it's so powerful. So when you work with the divine, respect that the divine woke you up today. We woke up today. Now, where do you get respect from? Fear. What if you don't wake up, God forbid, tomorrow? Are you afraid of that? How much respect you have now that you woke up tomorrow? And then, so the fear is the motivator of respect. Some people stay in fear. That's the worst thing to do. The Ben Ish Chai say, it's the worst thing to do to stay in fear toward the Creator. Because you make the Creator ashamed. It's embarrassing. You're afraid. Why are you afraid? The fear was given to you only as a spike to start working on yourself, but not to stay there. You know, like you're afraid you lose your business, God forbid. And it looked like you're losing all the money. Now that fear can either go this way or that way. Because a lot of people after 2007, when there was a crash of real estate, it was two types of people. One type of people who feel miserable and victim and all this and that and hate the world. And one type of people, that it make them humble and they start working on themselves. Two types. And it's okay. Nobody tell you that's right, that's wrong. We just offer you a better way. So reincarnation can happen while you are in this life. Are you respecting the divine? Then you can love. If you don't always find respect and love together, this machine will not work. So yes, is our friend. The divine is your friend. But don't underestimate or disrespect that friend. You know, because sometimes somebody is my friend. How come you're late for my prayer? You know? He said, hey, my friend. It's okay to have a relationship like this if you have the respect first. But if you don't have the respect, this will not last. It's disappeared. It's gone. And if we will remember what I just say now, it will change every area of your life into an amazing area. Okay? So when you pray, when you meditate, when you ask the above, the angels help me, respect. Thank you first for listening to my prayer. Thank you. I'm so glad. You know, yeah, I landed at the airport from New York. And as I'm landed, Debbie has a cold. And I'm landed from New York, 16 degrees. And landed here in LA. Before I land, the phone rang. Before I landed, we didn't touch. What's going on, man? I mean, it's Sunday evening. Come on, I mean. So, I don't want to answer it. I can't. I mean, we're landing. They will look at me. Debbie has a cold. I'm thinking to make her soup. So, I'm texting to the interviewer. I said, listen, it's urgent. urgent. You gotta be there at 4 p.m. Listen, I'm not dressed. I come from the airport. I'm not dressed. I'm exhausted. I didn't sleep that much. My wife, please give me a chance. Sometimes, when you don't respect messages from people, as you land it, because it's a sign, the divine say, I want to give you nourishment. Are you capable of receiving that? Or maybe you're too busy. Are you respecting that pressure? Are you respecting that pressure of, I want to give you more? And I took care of it in the next half an hour. I said, I cannot really come. I want to make a soup for my wife. Can I do it tomorrow? Say yes. And I can't tell you the old details, but I can tell you that that meeting was one of my dream came true meeting, you know? One of my dream came true. Can you imagine? Dream of 21 years. I didn't even expect it to be that way. Something that I was waiting for. I didn't know what to expect of that. The light, when you have respect, now you're going to love your life. You don't have respect, you can love your life because the love has no value. It's been nothing to you. Everything in your life that has value can be reawakening with gratitude and respect. You want to reawake your relationship? Respect and gratitude. You want to reawake your business life? Respect and gratitude. Then you're going to love it. You can love something you don't respect, okay? So with the divine, with God, when we do something wrong, we need to understand that at that moment, we cut ourselves. But there is always hope. You have to repent. What does repentance look like? First, to understand, I'm sorry that I did that to myself. But also you have to develop some fear. What did I miss while I was doing bad? Because while you do bad, at that moment you don't do good. I hope that point clear because it can change all the way we think now.
Does it apply for relationships between people also?
Of course.
Like real love, when you really care about someone, chances are you have those three components.
You need to check it. You need to check where you are with them. If the love starts to wear out, that means the respect wear out. So the love has no vessel to that hold it. So it's going to go away. So you got to check, am I still respecting them? Okay? Am I still respecting them? And the idea is, you know, usually I'm the one who gets called and my wife makes me the soup and all this and that. So now I develop some respect to her because I'm making the soup. I'm going to get the chicken. I'm going to get the vegetables to cut it, to put it. And this, you know, so we start to appreciate it. I said, wow, she did it for me. And I didn't even be aware of that because I was busy being sick. And you know how men get sick, not like women. When we get, like I said in your video, when men get sick, a little bit, fever, we become like, oh my God, I think I gotta call the hospital, something's wrong. Women get sick, you know, they put something on them, say, it gotta work. You know, men is different a little bit. We are thinking, so have you respect for her? Usually respect, like, oh my God. So she maybe also don't feel well while she's taking care of me, this and that, and I'm like this, and you know, what's gonna happen to me? And so I think yesterday, after, you know, I make the new soup. So I was going to a bed and give the soup. And I'm going, and then purposely, she said to me, do you know what it is? Let me, one of the kids. I said, no, I want to do it. So I'm going up the stairs, down the stairs, up the stairs, down the stairs. I said, oh my God, that's what I do to her, but I'm not even aware. So when you lose respect sometimes, God forbid, the love starts to disappear. God forbid. Very dangerous. So I was thanking the divine. I said, thank you, God, for reawakening me to respect my wife more, because I don't think I had it before. So I had to go through that to wake up. You know, I'm excited about it, because it brings me back, you know. Let's read another verse,
can
please.
Can you say just a little more
yes.
About fear?
Fear. Let's say when a person have fear to lose money, so, and business is going terrible. Mm-hmm. Everything starts to go, nothing work, no customer, nothing work. Start afraid. Start being afraid, he missed the good life that he had before, she or he missed. That missed the good life, start giving them respect to what they used to have. So the fear ignites a respect toward what you had or to what you have. God forbid, if you ever love someone, the fear of losing them make you respect them. Understand? The fear of losing somebody you love so much, but don't stay in the fear. You cannot be there for too long. You can be in the fear for 1 hour, maybe. That's it.
So how about with the divine?
divine, you know, you're alive. I mean, I can convince you that belief system that we are healthy or we are alive, there is a switch on, switch off. But I can't convince you it's true because I can't prove it to you. I'm just based on the reading. So the switch was on today. For you, for me, the switch was on. We've been awake today to do whatever we need to do. Not everybody is awake today. Some people didn't wake up today. So that fear that we have cannot paralyze you. It's unhealthy. But it has to be like for a minute or less, like a 30 second in the morning. So, wow, I woke up. What if I wouldn't wake up? Oh my God. So that fear, you got to rate, turn it into respect. 30 second, respect. You know, you're waiting for your wife, for your business partner, for somebody. And they're late a little bit. You start worrying what happened to them. Is everything okay? Now the fear, don't stay there too long. Turn it into respect, then it becomes love. It's amazing. These are three stages. But a lot of people fall into fear for too long. It's a big mistake. Then they become fanatic. And they worship God from fear. And that's the worst. It's considered the worst thing. Because you have to connect to the divine from love. Only from love. But to get there, we have to do work on ourselves. Is that more clear?
So okay. It's like fear has to be a motivator.
What exactly? Very good. But you can't stay there. It's dangerous. Rabbi, the Ben Ishchai, not Ben Ishchai, Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim write that people who worship the Creator from fear is like almost idol worshiping. Mm-hmm. And it's unnecessary to do so. So he talked much tougher than me, how bad it is. So the fear is ignited. And most religious people do that. You know, they scare people, they put fear in their heart, which is wrong. You have to put love in the heart. And to tell them that sometimes you have to fall. When you fall, fear will bring you back. Don't look at fear as bad. Fear is not a bad thing. We're going to do a short meditation this Thursday about fear. You know, when we do the Kabbalah gym, we have to deal with our fear. You know, that's one of the things I'm going to do with you. It's important. You know, but your fear cannot be the goal. It can be started, like a matches for the candle. Okay? It's very important. That's very, very important. Okay, let's read a few more verses, and then I'll let you go. Please.
And if his mercy reaches the wicked, the righteous, all the more. But who needs healing? Those who suffer pains. Who suffer pain? The wicked who need healing and mercy. For the Holy One, blessed be He, takes pity on them, so they will not be forsaken by Him. And He does not go away from them, so they will return in repentance before Him. When the Holy One, blessed be He, beckons, He does so with the right. And when he repels, he does so with the left. When he repels, the right beckons. He repels with one side and beckons with the other. The Holy One, blessed be He, does not withdraw His mercy from them.
Okay, so the left and the right, I will explain a little bit about it. Basically, one hand slap you a little bit, and the other hand give you a gift. So the idea, what does that mean? That means the universe is a system. And the system, it's only work for people who work on themselves. So you can see people who do bad things, nothing will happen to them because they disconnect from the system. When a person is absolutely disconnected, they can do as many bad things as they want. Nothing will happen in their life. When a person is reconnect, then the slap end will start working, the left end. So the left end is only working for the people who are in the system. If you are outside the system, you're not connected to nothing, good or bad not working for you. It's actually not happy. You don't even exist from the theory of the universe. There is no value for you. It's almost like that the brush that nobody uses. So you don't get dirty or you have blue or red color. There's nothing there. There's nothing. So there is no point to tell you that's wrong or that's right. You know, sometimes you meet people like this in your life that they're so foul. You know, I don't know if you study communication. In communication, sometimes you meet people that are so far, there's no point to tell them anything. There's no point. My father, may he rest in peace, used to say something not so nice, but funny. He used to tell me, Eliyahu, you know, I think it's very bad. I will put different words into it. And say, he said, this person is so low that he cannot even get insulted. You understand what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you tell a person like that bother you something, and they don't even get it, like it's about them. So sometimes people are so disconnected that there is not even a point to do anything. Nothing. So It's only for people who are in pain because of the spiritual behavior that they didn't do or did the wrong thing. So it say that the Creator waiting for them, waiting for them, but they have to make the change. Why the Creator just don't bring them, fix them, and do everything? Because you got to earn it. The feeling of earning is the greatest gift the Creator give you. Earn it. It's yours. Then you can look at it as your life. You know, as I work with an athlete, like a famous athlete that two athlete, you know, different game. And he went to injury. Now he need to come back. It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling. Say, you want me to go back and start from scratch? I said, yes, you have to start from scratch. It's not about the body. It's about your mind. You have to earn every moment of it now. And he's doing it. It will take some time. You know, it will take maybe 8 months. And it's a terrible feeling after you become the top and you crush to nobody, nothing. You are zero. And it can happen in your business. And it can happen in every area of your life. But I promise you that. The earning point is more important than the result you're going to get. This I promise you. The earning is more important than the result you're going to get.
It's a real example, isn't it?
Oh. As Debbie and myself, we are also can be an example for you. If we open, if we want to talk about ourselves, yeah. You know, we can show you some things we went through in the last year, and trust me. You're going to earn everything from start. Everything. Like every you study the ABC again, you know, yeah. Everything. Everything. And it wasn't easy. And it is not easy and it's difficult. But everything that you earn and you make it, you create something new. It's the most beautiful thing. But I wouldn't tell you it's easy. I wouldn't lie to you. Let's read just this verse because I know I'm a little bit late.
And come and see. But he went perversely in the way of his heart. Followed by, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and bestow comforts on him and on his mourners. He explains, but he went perversely means, though the wicked do what they do willfully and follow the way of their heart, and others admonish them, but they care not to listen to them, nevertheless, when they repent and take the good path of repentance, remedy awaits them.
Okay, so wicked people do bad things purposely. And even if you talk to them, they will continue to do that. Difficult. So when you go to them and talk to them, change, they don't want. They don't want. Okay. Yesterday I was in a meeting, and I saw the person has big ego, not huge ego. So I have a list. He asked me for all the problem he has. He said, what's the solution? I said, well, you sure? Can I say something here? He said, well, I can listen to you. And he's a hardcore North African Jew, if you ever met, tough guy. So, well, I will offer you two things. I have 20 things. You see that I have on my list 20 things you need to do. I'll offer you two. So, he said, how come you don't offer me the other 18? I said, okay, let me offer you the other 18. So I offer him. No. So you see, we went back to the 2 years. You're not going to change. You're not going to do that. So you push me with too many things. I said, I told you just two. You can't do the other 18. So people don't want to change. Even those people, the divine will wait. Will wait. When you're ready, will wait. Same thing. You know, I have privilege. I was invited by elementary school called Yavne. Yavne? In Hancock Park. They asked me if I could give lecture for the parents. So I was so touched. Me? I would be more than happy. So they asked me what I'm going to teach. So I was talking about, you know, kids. Our children could be our teacher. I'm telling you, they could be our teacher. And the idea is sometimes they don't want to listen. And it's difficult. And there is nothing more painful that you love someone and you can help them and they don't listen. There's nothing. I didn't find as a parent something more difficult than I can see somebody I love the most going on the wrong path and I can basically do zero about it to influence. Zero. I can make dinner and food and this and laugh and that. But in the end, the decision is their decision, you know? And sometimes I say, Debbie, I don't know what I'm going to do when they grow up. I really don't know. Don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. What am I going to do? Two psychologists next to me. I mean, what am I going to do? Live in their house? I don't know. I can't take it. I can't take that moment, you know? So I hope I'm going to grow and maybe when you get older, something happens to your brain. But I have a way when I love someone, I care in a level that I just can't stop. It's not normal. It's like a little bit cuckoo. Like, enough already. Enough. And the idea that I learned from that, the divine, and that's difficult to say, the divine care about my kids more than I care about my kids. And this, I'm telling you, the divine care about my children more than me, as much as I don't want to say it, but it is the truth. And even if you see people you love, your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbor that you love, your partner in business, your sister, your brother, going on the wrong path. Pray for them, meditate with them. Everything you can do. And don't feel that your talk not been doing something to them. Trust me. What you say, if it's come from here, it will impact them eventually. I don't know when, but it will impact them. And you know, when we were in Miami, it's the first time ever in my life that my son, my older son, gave me a compliment. He's a Leo rising Aries. I had to stop the car. We were in the middle of the car. And then he gave me the compliment again. And I said, you okay? So, because, you know, we both tough. So it's not a stop. He's a Leo. Leo is
tough.
It's not tough. It's
stubborn.
And not always for good things. It's no reason, no reason, no reason. And I'm looking, why? And I handled the situation with him in a better. He said to me, by the way, the way you handle it is now give me like the judge. The way you handle it was way better than before. Very good. I didn't expect that from you. He told me that. So, okay. Insult me a little bit, you know? but it's good for me because what? That was the compliment, but I was taking it. I said, you okay? I'm taking it. You know, you give it. I was happy with it, actually, because it opened a line of communication. You understand what I'm saying? So I can talk also, so I can open also. So it's very important. It's very important. And the idea with people you love, you need to remember that when you talk to them, you know, say they do tshuva, they do repentance. Sometimes people hurt themselves. They're doing bad things to themselves. And there's not a lot you can do. But you can talk to the divine. You can talk to their soul. And together, everything together. And I will end up with a story that happened. Maybe listen to me now, if you don't mind. I'm not telling name. Happened in New York. And a father called me that his kid's becoming a teenager. What to do? What do with a teenager? You know, they look at my kids and me in relationship. I think we're doing well together. And I said, well, you have to become partner with them, which means even from age 6 and 7, we're talking now, I need help. That's how I used to do with my kids. Oh, I brought them to spirituality. Spirituality can be boring sometimes. I say, guys, kids, I really need your help. I have a meeting on Monday. Can you help me to meditate with me? And I brought them in from the back door, and then we did great things together. And so he texts me before the classes to me, you have no idea what's just happening. He's a 10 years old. So a young one, they start with that. They want to see if it's working. Like he sat with me for 1 hour. Okay, it's time to try the product. So he went, and I told him exactly what to do. He said, it's unbelievable. He said, me and my son, first time ever, meditate, pray, connect, we talk. And the idea, I'm telling you, you bring the relationship of the divine to your family and put it together between your children and everybody, things will start working. Don't have conversation just about football or the paper or the stock market. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes divine, 5 minutes divine. Because what put your soul together with your family soul is the divine put us all together. Remember, this is the week of reincarnation. Whatever you do this week count. Every week count, but it will count even more. Do not forget, Thursday, 8 p.m., we are starting the Kabbalah gym here for 6 weeks. All right? The course been designed to help you on a daily basis with a simple wisdom of Kabbalah. It's not complicated, so if you have people who are totally not into religion, totally not in Kabbalah, it's designed perfectly for them, okay? It starts with all the concept of the idea, like what I teach today about the soul, the body, different, very basic, and get them going into the area of stress in their life, in the area of fear, and how to find really what makes you happy, okay? And it's a very simple, 6 hours, 1 hour each Thursday, okay, I think the price is good. I think it's $50. It's not too expensive, right, for 6 weeks. And I really, if you have any friend who can come, it will be great to see them. Thank you.